السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. أولئك الذين اشتروا الحياة الدنيا بالآخرة فلا يخفف عنهم العذاب ولا هم ينصرون. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. Thumma amma ba'd. We're on ayah number 86 of Surah Al-Baqarah. Allah Azza wa Jal in the previous ayah that we spoke about yesterday talks about believing in some part of the book and not in other parts of the book. There's one aspect of that I wanted to bring to your attention before we move on to the next ayah that I failed to do yesterday. And that is an alienated, disjointed application of Allah's deen. In other words, what happens in the life of a believer, certain different kinds of diseases can attack our practice of the deen. And one such disease is that you take care with great regard one aspect of the deen. Maybe it's salah. Maybe it's the way you look, the way you dress. Right? You take care of it really, really well. And at the same time, you completely ignore some other aspect of the deen. And you start thinking in your head that because I'm doing this one thing really well, then I don't have to take care of other things. I'm a good Muslim because I already do this. So an example of that would be a person who is extremely, sample I gave you of someone who really takes care of their salah, but when it comes to their obligations in regards to the home, of being a husband, a responsible father, you know, of providing even a halal income, right, taking care of their role or taking care of their relationship with their parents, all of those things are in shambles, but at least I'm solid on my salat. This is not holding on to the deen. This is taking one part of the deen and ignoring other parts of the deen. And other people can do other things with this as well. There are people who, for instance, can make sure that, and the alienation can become so severe that they'll make sure that the food they're eating is like halal. Right? So they'll go to the restaurant and they'll verify where the meat was slaughtered, and they'll do background checks and find out the guy's social security number, even get a shoe size, everything, right? They'll make sure that their meat is coming from a legit source. But the paycheck and the money with which they're buying the meat can come from a haram source, that's okay. Right? So on the one hand, you're so peculiar, so particular about making sure that you're taking care of one aspect of the deen, and on the other side, you can completely ignore it. And then, you have similar situation, you have people that can be very, very particular about the practices of the deen, about taking care of certain ritual aspects of the deen. But when it comes to, for example, gatherings inside the home or, you know, get together, things like that, then you can throw all of the teachings of the deen out the window. A different person in the masjid, a completely different person at home. Different principles in the house of Allah, completely different principles elsewhere. This is أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضٍ. You believe in some parts of the book and reject, disbelieve in other parts of the book. Right? That's what we spoke about yesterday. Now the Allah gets to the heart of the matter. Why would they do such a thing? Why would a person take one part of the religion so seriously and at the same time be oblivious to another part of the religion? It's all the same deen. It all comes from Allah Azza wa Jal. Well, the bottom line is this. This deen came so we can serve Allah. That's the summary of the deen is, you and I submit to Allah, we serve Allah. But for sometimes, you know what happens to people? They want the deen to serve them. Instead of the deen being a means to serve Allah, you want the deen to be a means to serve you. You want to feel good about yourself. You want to feel like you've accomplished something. It's not about Allah anymore, it's about you. So what does Allah say in the next ayah? أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَوُ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا بِالْآخِرَةِ. Those are the people that have purchased worldly life in exchange for the next life. They purchased. You know when you purchase something, who's it for? Yourself. Yourself. The previous ayah is talking about even them giving, you know, money, fidya, to free captives. That's a good thing to do. But when they only do that and not the other part, then Allah is saying this is essentially self-serving. You just want you to feel better in this dunya. This is purchasing the life of dunya. By the way, these words are used usually for kuffar. They took this world and they purchased the life of this world. They would rather have all the luxuries of life now. They would rather not have anything in the akhirah because they don't believe in the akhirah. But the amazing thing is this ayah now is talking about people who claim to believe. They claim to believe and now Allah is saying they've purchased the life of this world in exchange of the next, in exchange for the next. فَلَا يُخَفَّفُ عَنْهُمُ الْعَذَابِ. Then the torture, the punishment will not be lightened for them. Such a powerful statement of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this takhfif is a very subtle concept mentioned in the Quran. Here in the ayah, Allah says, the punishment will not be made lighter on these people. May Allah not make us from them. At the same time, Allah, when He describes His deen and the obedience to His deen, you know what He says? In Surah An-Nisa, He says, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَن يُخَفِّفَ عَنْكُمْ. Allah intends to lighten your burden for you. In other words, you and me obeying Allah's deen, the purpose, one of the purpose of that is, Allah wants your life to be lighter, easier. The deen and its principles come, these religious principles that are there, the purpose of them is to make your life easy, not to make your life hard. That's the point of them. But now since you didn't want to make this life easy for yourself, you'd rather go into difficulty. If you'd rather do that, then not only do you get difficulty in this life, but also in the next life. فَلَا يُخَفَّفُ عَنْهُمُ الْعَذَابِ. And then he says, وَلَا هُمْ يُنصَرُونَ. And they are not going to be aided. They're not going to be helped. And that's the other, like, you know, insight into the psyche of someone who has this hypocritical attitude. Why would people take one part of the deen and not the other part? Because they say this one part is enough for them to be saved. On the day of judgment, when they come before Allah and say, at least I obeyed this one thing, that should be enough for me to get help. Allah make sure you and I know they're not going to be helped. وَلَا هُمْ يُنصَرُونَ. They are not the ones that are going to be helped. And then the next ayah will conclude, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابِ وَقَفَّيْنَا مِنْ بَعْدِهِ بِالرُّسُلِ. And we had for sure, Allah swears by it, لَام is جَوَابِ الْقَسَمِ here. We swear by it even, that we had certainly given Musa the book. And we had fortified him. قَفَّى in Arabic is to have something continue. You know how beads in a pearl continue one after the other? He's giving that imagery of prophets coming one after the other. Messengers coming one after the other to Bani Israel. So we gave him the book and we strengthened, you know, made the continuum happen by means of several messengers. وَآتَيْنَا عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ. And we gave Isa alayhi salam, the son of Maryam, clear miraculous signs. Now interesting, Allah first mentioned Musa alayhi salam, then He mentioned Isa alayhi salam. You know why? Because the address is to Bani Israel. And who's the first messenger to Bani Israel? It's Musa alayhi salam. And who's the final messenger specifically to Bani Israel? Isa alayhi salam. So Allah mentions the bead of pearls, right? The chain, the continuum. So He mentions the first part of the chain and the last part of the chain. So it's implied the entire series that began with that and ends with this. وَآتَيْنَا عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأَيَّدْنَاهُ بِرُوحِ الْقُدُسِ. We gave, you know, Isa alayhi salam clear miraculous signs, and we aided him by means of Ruh al-Qudus. Qudus is pure and sanctified, really. Ruh al-Qudus, the soul of the sanctified, or the Ruh, I shouldn't even translate Ruh as soul, refers to Jibreel alayhi salam, so we aided him by means of Jibreel alayhi salam. أَفَكُلَّمَا جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ بِمَا لَا تَهْوَى أَنفُسُكُمْ. Every time a messenger would come to you with something you didn't prefer. لا تهوى أنفسكم. Hawa. Hawa in Arabic is empty desire. It didn't fit your personality. Every time a messenger came with some instructions that you just didn't like, you were kind of allergic to them. You didn't like what it had to say. You didn't want to change your behavior in light of what the messengers brought. Every time that happened, what did you do? استكبرتم. You sought your own greatness. The rough translation says you became arrogant. Istikbar, however, means to pursue one's own greatness. In other words, you felt that your likes and dislikes, your personality, your preference is greater than that which is being taught by a messenger. This is the heart of istikbar, right? I want to do something, and you know the messenger is asking me to do something else. Until, and this is the messenger's principle, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, none of you believes. You know, حَتَّى يَكُونَ هَوَاهُ تَبِعًا لِمَا جِئْتُ بِهِ. Until his desires become, they submit, they come under what I have brought. The messenger brings something until you and I, what we prefer, is submitted to what the messenger prefers for us by Allah's guidance. Then until that happens, we have no iman. So he says, every time instructions came to you that didn't fit you, that you didn't like on your personally, you sought to greaten yourself, you sought your own arrogance. فَفَرِيقًا كَذَّبْتُمْ. So you had two kinds of groups. A group among you, and a sizable group at that, lied against them. كَذَّبْتُمْ. You lied against the messengers. Now this تَكْذِيبُ الرُّسُل is very interesting, because the messengers of Bani Israel, we know historically speaking, with the exception of Isa alayhi salam, they believed in all of the messengers. They did not reject Dawud alayhi salam or Sulaiman alayhi salam or other prophets from Bani Israel. They did not reject them. The one they outright rejected was Isa alayhi salam, and of course Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam. But in this chain, Allah is saying, every time a messenger came, you lied against them. This is a different kind of lying against the messenger. The typical kind is, I reject the fact that you are a messenger. This is lying against the messenger. But their lying against the messenger is different. Them lying against the messenger is, I'm not going to obey what you're saying. What you're saying doesn't make any sense. This can't be from Allah, this is just you talking. I don't need to get, you know, I don't need to take you seriously. And this is what they told Musa alayhi salam. This didn't begin later on, this was already there in the beginning. Remember when Musa alayhi salam told them to do what Allah had commanded, they said, لَن نُؤْمِنَ لَكْ حَتَّى نَرَ اللَّهَ جَهْرًا. We're not going to accept what you're saying until we see Allah face to face. We're not so sure if you're getting this from Allah or you're making this up yourself. So why don't you get Allah to talk to us face to face, then we'll take you seriously. Right? So they have this attitude, right? This is what's being called takdeeb here. كَذَّبْتُمْ فَفَرِيقًا كَذَّبْتُمْ. And finally, وَفَرِيقًا تَقْتُلُونَ. And some even, if you've gone that far, that you can't trust your messenger, maybe what he's saying isn't from Allah, then you others went further and to say he's lying, he's a criminal, and they were even willing to kill. وَفَرِيقًا تَقْتُلُونَ. And a group among you also willing to kill, and they actually engaged in killings of prophets. This is something Allah brings up multiple times in the Qur'an. The crime of killing prophets. Now, I want to conclude, inshaAllah ta'ala, with something I've said previously, but I want to refresh your memory. The Messenger of Allah tells us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَيَأْتِيَنَّ عَلَىٰ أُمَّتِي مَا أَتَىٰ عَلَىٰ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ حَزْوَ النَّعْلِ بِالنَّعْلِ. The same things will fall upon the Israelites that fell upon my nation, like a shoe compared to another. In other words, our legacy is very similar to the legacy of the Israelites, the history of the Israelites, Bani Israel. But they killed prophets. They killed prophets. And of course, we don't have any further prophets. We only have our final messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But then you look at this profound hadith of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, ulama ummati ka anbiya bani Israel. He says, the ulama, the scholars of my ummah are like the prophets of Bani Israel. The prophets of Bani Israel came to renew and rejuvenate the sharia given to Musa alayhi salam. The ulama of this deen come for what purpose? To renew and rejuvenate, to refresh in the people the sharia given to Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at our history and you find out who's been killed like the prophets of Bani Israel. Our ulama. Some of the greatest ulama of our history were killed at the hands of Muslims. Publicly humiliated, imprisoned, tortured, beaten, you know, enslaved. All kinds of things happening to the ulama of this ummah at the hands of Muslims. So if we couldn't follow them step by step, we came pretty darn close. We came pretty close, subhanAllah. What a sad situation, you know. And the Messenger warns us of these things way before they happen. And yet, you and I, we don't learn. May Allah Azza wa Jalla make us of those who learn these lessons and better the state of this ummah. And may Allah make us of those about whom the Messenger والسلام, even asked his Sahaba to be jealous of, the last of those who come, who will believe in the Messenger as though they, you know, even without having seen him. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim, wa nafa'ni wa iyyakum bil ayati wa dhikri al-Hakim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.